Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am truly trying not to be too positive, Chuck Mockler.
And we're a couple of best friends and Clipper credentialed media people. We bring you Locked On Clippers 5 days a week. Can you believe it? It's a great day to be a Clippers fan today. If you somehow missed it, Clippers opened the season with a dub. We're officially undefeated, 1-0. We're going to kick things off with a recap of that 116-109 win versus the team across the hall. We're going to kind of split this up into a couple of segments. We're going to talk what we like. There was some things to take away that we didn't like. But overall, I couldn't be more happy to have been made a fool by this team.
Yes, 100%.
We had some serious questions, as you may know, coming in after the preseason. Not that preseason is indicative of anything, but just of a team that looked like it wasn't quite tuned up. So we're going to be talking about all that. And then it's Wednesday. We got a What You Say Wednesday for you. Basically, along the same theme, we kind of asked y'all out there how many games you thought it would take the Clippers to kind of figure it out as a whole. So we're going to be talking about that as well. And then, do we have any shavings kicking around? I think we do. Shavings,
a little bit.
Shavings, in case you don't know, is just kind of where we wrap up everything else. But before we get into all that, Charles, you got to tell these people about diamonds.
So if this is your first time reading this episode, you should know that we are all about class, class, class. For instance, this episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautifully crafted commitment ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. And when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, so we're back and we're going to kick off the first part of this recap of the Clippers 116 to 109 win versus the Lakers. Despite some sort of scuttlebutt about there possibly being a different starting lineup with both Serge and Ivica Zubac being in the starting lineup, we did end up running out the regular starting five that we saw through the preseason, which is with Batum at the four, obviously Serge at the five. What do we think of this?
I was pretty hyped on this. Also, shout out to anyone who took the Clippers plus 2.5 on BetOnline AG. You won yourselves a couple bucks. That's always a good time. I was fine with it. We're going to talk about this a little more when we get in depth, but I mean, Batum did exactly what you kind of really wanted him to do. He moved the ball better than Morris would have moved the ball. I'm not saying he should start in front of
Morris,
but you know what I'm saying? Like, the ball movement was there. Like, he hit a three early. He was competing for boards. He got some fouls. One of his fouls was just contesting a shot, which you kind of like to see in terms of fouls. So I wasn't too mad at that. But I think the biggest thing to realize is that, you know, if this is a Doc Rivers team, we're matching up with the Lakers based on size, right? And with the Ty Lue team, ball movement was the priority.
Yes, absolutely.
That right there, I think, can show Clippers fans that we're in for a much different Clippers team than we saw last season. And we already saw it this year, which is great. I also want to point out, we were so wrong about being 0-3, and I am so happy to eat those words.
We still could end up 1-2.
We could, but we thought we were going to be 0-3. The defense in this game looked good. The Lakers shot 46% from the field, 31% from three. We started off strong. We staved off a comeback. Let's get into what we liked. And I think what we have to start off with is Paul George telling everyone that he does not care about what you think. The man had 33 points on 18 shots. he killed it late. What more can we say about this Paul George performance?
I mean, it was incredible. He was slow to start. He had 7 points through the first half, and then he just exploded in the second half. He really found ways to get to his spots. He looked, he just looked unstoppable. It was to the point where
truly,
like, you were just shocked if a shot didn't fall. It felt like maybe something was broken.
It's like when Neo sees the cat for the second time in The Matrix. You're like, wait a minute. Like, you've seen this shit before.
Yes.
I think a good point you have in here, TNT kind of going at Paul George a bit in this post-game interview.
Okay, so I'm glad that we're talking about this. If this is your first Locked on Clippers listen, this is a very petty Locked on Clippers argument. But so Paul George obviously did the post-game with the TNT live crew, and like every single question started or ended on a super negative note. I think Shaq was first to speak, and he was like, I'm not going to talk about what you did last year, you know?
Because we all know that sucks.
But, 33, you know, I think you could be doing that every night. It's like one of those things where it's not even a question, you know? And then...
Yeah, he's an old man telling you, like, you could have done a lot better. You're like, okay, well, what do you want to know about that?
Yeah. And then somebody else, I can't remember if it was Kenny the Jet or who brought it up. They were like, there was some rumblings about the locker room and that maybe you were getting preferential treatment. How do you feel about that? And Paul George answered it very diplomatically. He was basically like, hey, you know what? Like, you know this. You get to a certain level of your game. You expect certain things, and you know what it's gonna take for you to get to where you need to be at in your game. And if people, you know, aren't with that, the people that don't feel that way aren't in the locker room anymore.
No, they are not.
Ice. I love it.
Ice. Paul George is fantastic. Kawhi Leonard had 26 points on a warm-up amount of shots tonight, if you will. He took a bunch of shots. I think he literally took, I think it was 24 or 26. He took the same amount.
He took 26 shots, yeah.
He took 26. He came out aggressive to start the third, which helped the Clippers bounce back. The Clippers had a 20-point lead at one point in the first. It looked great. The second quarter was the complete opposite of that. Kawhi talked about this. He said, we turned around, stayed positive. We played our game. Everyone had each other's backs. We kept communicating on the floor. He praised Zoo and Serge. Man, I'm trying not to ride too high on this horse right now, but personally, this was as good as the first game could have gone for the Clippers. The defense, you know, there's still some things to go. You know what I'm saying? But like, we held the Lakers to that rough percentage from three. The offense, though, there's a marked difference. The ball movement popped. There was more cuts. Like,
it seemed like people had more space, yeah. Just in general. And obviously, you're playing a team that's trying to tighten up their defensive rotation. So, you know, I don't want to get too wild about it yet. But I do have to know
difficult right now, though.
Yeah, but I do have to note on the Kawhi thing too. This was like he's still Kawhi, but this was kind of a completely different demeanor than we've seen him take with the media.
It's been the whole season. There's been more pictures of him smiling, which I have a theory about, which we'll dive into at some point. But yeah,
he just seemed, you know, he seemed like things were going well. He just kept bringing up like the positivity and the team staying positive, and how important it was for them, you know, both in getting the offense going, getting stops, continuing to get stops through rough patches of play. Once again, trying not to read too much into it, but this looks like a team that has ironed out some of the interpersonal stuff. And whether that was player to player, player coach, player staff, even. I don't really know the full extent.
Hey, por qué no los dos, you know what I'm saying?
But it does seem like, you know, they have ironed out some of those things.
Yeah, and I mean, we stuck to the game plan. You know, we focused on rebounds and defense. You noted in these notes, like, we didn't win the rebounding battle overall, but we won fast break points and offensive rebounds. There's a point when I think Patrick Beverley had two offensive rebounds and one possession in the third. So, like, I don't know, man. Like, this was, I hate having to go back to it, but in terms of process and looking good, the Lakers played a little rough, obviously. The Clippers played very rough for parts of this game, but for what it is, man, it looks different from last year, and I think we just got to be hyped on that.
Yes, definitely. It is a totally new look. It does seem like guys are being optimized so far through one game, you know?
Yeah, so let's talk about kind of optimization. The surge and Zoo minutes were split 20 minutes for Surge, 26 for Zoo, which I think, I mean, that was kind of a pleasant surprise. Like, I'm happy with that. But I think the point that I want to make here and that I'm willing to go very much on the record for is that the Surge Zoo 1-2 punch at the five specifically for the Clippers is one of the best 1-2 punches at the five in the league. I don't care what order it's in because it doesn't matter, because it's pretty obvious that Zoo is going to destroy and have a, or should I say, have a really good season on backup centers. And there's no reason for me to believe that Surge wouldn't also have that situation if he were in the backup position and Zoo was starting.
Totally. I mean, this is like, this is kind of an overarching thing that we saw. Sorry to segue from this for just a second, but we talked leading into this about, you know, the zone defense and certainly the triangle offense and trying different things. And what we saw was that stuff peppered in, but an ability to shift on the fly and to change things as need be. When we needed to battle over screens or double up AD on the block, you know, we moved away from a zone. And while we'll talk about it in the next session, there were a couple issues communicating defensively. Overall, this was like a really just adaptive game plan, and I think that this Surge Zoo thing is like the perfect encapsulation of that, because you have a guy who is your starter, makes sense in the starting lineup, but Zoo can be in a closing role, and certainly he's out there any minute that Trez was on the floor.
Yes, and matched.
Ty Lue had great things to say about both of them. I think this is going to be kind of one of those ongoing things where it's six of one, half dozen of the other, of who starts and who finishes. You know, it like it can really go any way dependent on matchup. But, you know, Ty Lue talked about Zoo being such a dynamic roller, and Surge, you know, he can roll, but he can also shoot. Kawhi brought up in his post game that Surge is like one of the best rim deterrents over the past decade, and that people kind of forget about that.
It's crazy. And I mean, and another thing, Zoo was plus 17 tonight.
Zoo's finishing tonight thoroughly surprised me. I was very pleasantly surprised. He was 80% from the floor. He was 4 of 5. He had a mean dunk on Trez that was just,
yes.
Oh, it was just a
block
thing
on LeBron.
Of beauty.
You love it. We got a couple more points to wrap up before we get to what we didn't like in the next segment. But we got to give a shout out to William Updike and the rest of the Nicola Batum Navy that showed out. Batum did exactly what he was supposed to do for someone who's being thrust into a uber difficult position of starting for the Clippers now, because Marcus Morris is out. Who also, note on Marcus Morris, was on the bike pregame. So, you know, there's some belief that maybe he'll be there for the Christmas game. We also don't
maybe
really
he'll yet. Be riding a bike to the next game.
Who knows? but you know, like Batum, he hustled. He got some boards. He hit a three early. He moved the ball. He could handle the ball a little bit better than Morris. This is what he had to do in place of Morris. Like, I'm not saying he should start in place of Morris, obviously, but for someone who has,
I don't
to
know
do
that
this,
he's handling
he
the
did,
ball better than Morris, but I do love
he
the
is.
Optimism.
Literally,
for
ball
my
handling
dude.
Is better than Morris.
But I do love the optimism for the dude. I mean, he did run the ball up at least once. So, yeah, I mean, he was great. The rebounding was solid. I would love to see some more shots falling for him. But the thing is,
for sure,
the quality of the looks is so good.
Yeah,
but like some of these Batum looks are so good and so open. He's just gonna start making them.
And I think it's important to remember those are Morris looks. Those
yes.
are realistically in the
That's
playoffs.
A great call.
Those are Morris looks.
That's a great call. That's a great call. If Morris is getting that same kind of space, I mean, that you know, it's almost automatic.
We love it. And most importantly, the team pounced back from sloppy play. Kawhi and PG responded after we let the 20-point lead slip. The offense got to the rim so easily in the first quarter, which is fantastic. But coming up, we do have to talk about some of the things we didn't like and how we're feeling after this victory. But first, Will, do you enjoy betting on sports?
I do. And you know what? There's a great place to do it. It's betonline.ag. Are you ready for some football? college football heads into bowl season, and there are some big matchups this weekend. The NFL regular season is finishing up with the playoff picture becoming clear. Just, you know, give some good thoughts out there for my fantasy football team winning the consolation bracket. But there's only one place that has you covered for bets and one place that we trust. It's betonline.ag. You can sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. Will the Clippers be good against the spread? Who knows? I mean, it seems like it now.
They were tonight.
So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Okay. So we're talking Clippers versus Lakers recap part two. Again, the Clippers won this game, which is fantastic. And want to reiterate, before we get into what we didn't like, this was as good as the game could have gone. I think that is the biggest thing we all got to take away from this. Also got to get a shout out to Locked On Bets. Go ahead, check that out. Subscribe to it. Win a couple of bucks here and there. So let's talk about Kawhi's shot selection in this game. Because we kind of noted in the first segment, he took a lot of shots in this game, and they all weren't necessarily seemingly the best. But this could be growing pains.
So I want to talk about, like, the overall amount of shots I'm fine with. He took 26 of 93 shots. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The best player on your team should probably be taking close to 30% of the shots. But I do have a problem with the selection. He went 1 of 8 from three. So a third of his shots were from three-point range.
Still getting there.
Yeah, despite like not really having the efficiency. He did shoot like 50%, I think, at one point during the preseason from three, but it wasn't happening this game. He took the same amount of threes as Paul George, which just
that should never be the case.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. And this is probably one of those things too where those shots are more available and someone has to take them without Morris being on the floor. But I would like to see him play his game more in a range that he's comfortable with. Certainly get to the foul line more. I do think. This is just a side note as well. Like, the foul trouble was a little bit difficult for the Clippers, which we'll talk about some more with specific players later.
Absolutely.
But Kawhi and Paul George both, like, if they want to spend time at the foul line, which they'll need to carry the offensive load that they're going to need to in the absence of Morris, they got to be getting to that line. And the way to do it is just to continue to go. You're going to get more calls.
For sure.
Obviously, you're going to get more calls over more attempts, but the more the refs see it too, the more they're going to be attuned to the amount of contact that you're taking.
100%. But again, this is also stuff where it's like first game of the season. We got to take it with a grain of salt. He's still warming up. Like, it's just one of those things. He still had 26, which was great. Yeah, like, it's hard to – I know what you're saying, you know?
I don't expect, you know, a third of his shots to come from three in other games unless the efficiency is there.
Unless he's just feeling it immediately. The foul trouble we can talk about now, because one of the things, Patrick Beverley, look, Pat Bev, he was 4 of 9. He shot 40% from three. He had 10 points. He had some very clutch offensive rebounds. He had 6 boards. 4 of them were offensive rebounds. But the way that he gets fouls is annoying. It's not that he gets 3 fouls. It's that the 3 fouls he gets are fouls where you're like, at least 2 of them, you're like, dude, what are you doing right there? Like, you're just swiping at the ball. You know what I mean? Like, that's something that has to get kind of figured out. And I'm hoping that it's just a preseason, like an early season thing, excuse me. But we did see it in the bubble when he was coming back from being injured. So I'm hoping that that's something that's got to get ironed out for sure. Because that put us behind the eight ball a little bit. And same with Luke Kennard.
Yeah, so late possession fouls just in general were a huge bother to me in this game. We would have some really solid defensive possessions that were just completely blown by poor discipline at the very end of a shot clock. There's no excuse for stuff like that. I get that it's the first game, but, like, you know, that's one of those things.
I chalk it up a little bit to first game stuff, if I'm being honest.
That's one of those things, though, that is going to concern me if it is a trend still moving forward. Luke Kennard here was especially egregious. I mean, he definitely fouled the three-point shooter at least twice. And a couple of them, at least one of them was on a shot that didn't have a prayer. It wasn't even going to touch rim.
It was desperation.
And he fouled the guy. One of his fouls did end up getting overturned at one point, so I'm not counting that one against him. But
that was a clean block.
Yeah, that was definitely a clean block. But, you know, it's just one of those things. If you've had that great of a, you know, defensive possession, it's really a bummer to blow it at the end of a shot clock. Like, that's, you know. Yeah.
It's not going to be a backbreaker.
It's a backbreaker, and it's so mentally taxing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really, really difficult.
But we also should note, for those people who are kind of bummed on Kennard, I think he went 2 for 6 or something like that. Man, the dude is just getting back to playing competitive basketball. Like, he's going to hit those shots. He's got to be a little more aggressive shooting, but that's going to happen. We can't be too bummed for what he did. Someone we can be bummed on, though, which I think we need to bring up, is Reggie Jackson and Patrick Patterson, actually. They were horrid in this game.
Patrick
Patterson and Reggie Jackson were 1 for 8 combined.
I love that Reggie Jackson has gotten so much ire despite playing only 3 minutes in this one.
So that's what I like. So that's the positive, right? Is that Ty Lue, the Clippers were on a run, and then Reggie Jackson came in and the lead was gone. The momentum was gone. Any rhythm, whatever you want to say, was gone after the Reggie Jackson stint. And Ty Lue was like, I'm not making the same mistake twice. And just yanked him, which was great to see.
Yeah, it's great that he's being attentive to lineups, which isn't something I should even have to commend a coach on. But hey, that's where we're at.
Hey, baby.
So he was rough. Pat Patterson was technically, I believe, a +9 in this game. That was more due to the lineups that he was on the floor with than his actual play.
Yeah, no shit.
He had 3 boards, was 1 of 5 from the floor. I bring this up to say, how worried are we about the power forward position and those rotations?
I'm honestly, just because Marcus Morris is injured, I'm not. Like, yeah, when Marcus Morris is out, we get a little thin. But when Marcus is healthy, we're fine.
Yeah.
Might be a simplistic way to look at it, but, like, I don't know, man. Like, I was so surprised we didn't see a lot of Fee, like, any of Fee in this game, given the center rotation.
He played almost a whole minute.
Yeah. But, like, no, I'm not too worried about it. I don't think it's something that should be truly worried about unless, like, Morris looks really bad for 6 games.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess you're right. It does completely transform with Morris back in the lineup, but in his absence, it is thin, and I feel like that's even generous.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. So we can kind of talk about that. There was some Luke Kennard, and Patrick Patterson minutes that were very bad defensively, but the other two people on the court were Kawhi Leonard and Ivica Zubac, so that really helped it out. And I think one thing I forgot to talk about in the first segment was I love the staggering. There was a marked difference in staggering, and
very effective.
Everyone seemed totally fine with it. So that was a great adjustment.
It also was a little bit easy. I mean, it was made a little bit easy by Paul George being like on absolute fire. Like, it made sense.
For sure.
That staggering gets a little bit easier when things are going really, really well.
Yeah. So, to close this recap out, we're in the how we feeling section, which, if you're new to the pod, we just say how we're feeling after the win, just in general. I'm going to go first on this one.
Okay.
And look, I'm very hyped up. I had one rolled, one cold. It was a great night. But we can't be too hyped. But this was as good as this game could have gone for the Clippers, which I'm so happy that it happened. There's going to be ups and downs. We saw it in the comparison of the first quarter and the second quarter. We shot like 70% in the first quarter, and then the second quarter was just full of turnovers and bad shooting. And that, you know, like, that's going to probably even out to an entire game length, you know what I mean, as opposed to just a half, because things are kind of crazy right now. But, I mean, the foundation for the differences that we all wanted to see are there. They're present in the first game. We have more ball movement. We have more cuts to the basket. We have better rotations. Like, there's rotations we didn't like, but there were rotations that had us pounding our head against the wall, you know? Like, Ty Lue in this first game, I know it's the first game, he showed that we're in store for change. And that paired with the win, we got to be pretty hyped. And I'm feeling pretty good going into Christmas. I'll have to check the lines on that for Bet Online. But, no, this was... I don't know what else people would have wanted.
Yeah. I mean, I think overall, I'm just feeling relief. I wasn't worried per se, but like the team is further along than I thought they were. So that's really refreshing. And also, you know, it just seems like these things, these new pieces, I can see a path to them all working and working well. It, you know, like you touched on, it was great to see the rotations. It was great to just see the overall adaptability of this team. And it seems like, you know, from the coaching staff to like the top players down, they really are trying to change the mindset and build a better foundation. And so I just have relief that like it does seem like we're actually on the same page through one game.
100%. Let us know what you thought about the game at Locked On Clips. We got to do the victory GIF today, which if you're familiar with the Twitter, you're probably pretty psyched on that. But coming up, we're going to be talking kind of fans' expectations with how long they're going to give the Clippers to go to figure it out on What You Say Wednesday. But first, Will, talk to me about these Built Bars that I hear young people blathering on about.
Well, Built Bar is great, but they've got a new product for you, Built Go, which makes you the best you at whatever you do. You can break through your wall, whether it's mental or physical. You can break through it with Built Go, every single day. It's easy to take. It comes in 1.5-ounce packages. You can put it in your briefcase for a focused presentation. You can put it in your golf bag to power through the back nine, or put it in your pockets just to, you know, get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's like 5-hour energy without the same crash. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. It currently comes in 3 delicious flavors. They got peanut butter honey for you, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint. You're probably wondering, how does Built Bar work so well? Well, it combines energy gel with collagen protein, which is fast absorbing, so it gets into your system fast. Plus, it's easy on the old stummy. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite your work. It kicks in and keeps you going. And collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better. So go to builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go.
All right. Welcome to What You Say Wednesday. We send this poll out on Twitter every Tuesday at Locked On Clips. Check it out. Usually just a question regarding the Clippers. We get people's answers. Went with team expectations for this one. Everyone seemed like pretty quasi level-headed. I asked on Twitter, how many games will you give the Clippers to quote-unquote figure it out? Everyone has their own definition of that, but I think most people kind of know what it means. The options were 0 to 5 games, 6 to 10 games, 11 to 15 games, 15-plus games. The overwhelming winner was 6 to 10 games, one with 44% of the vote, of the plus 300 votes or so. Where would you add on this? I think I'm kind of in the 11 to 15 range, if I'm being honest, which had 19%.
I'm thinking about 15 plus games. I said on yesterday's podcast around 16 games. The team is further ahead than I thought, which is great.
At least after one game.
I think 16 games, they'll really be clicking. But once again, it depends on how long it takes to get Morris back in the starting lineup.
For sure.
You know, that's a huge question mark. And just, you know, another guy who needs touches that you got to figure out and fit that into a flow that's kind of already established itself. So I'm not worried about it, but it is one of those things where it's going to take some time. It is a new system. And we've also been told, you know, for better and worse, Evan from Locked On Cavs, very familiar with Ty Lue.
Oh, yeah.
Both the ups and the downs. Said that there's times where it will be frustrating because he's going to continue to try things and work on things.
yeah.
And sometimes it's not going to be as successful as it was tonight. And I think that is going to be, you know, part of building this sort of foundation, but I'm not worried about it.
100%. M. Jones Vandy, frequent contributor over on Twitter, said, I say 15 plus and the clock doesn't even start until Mook is back. Doesn't mean we can't blow a few teams out along the way. I think that's a good point. Like, we're going to see a lot of the Clippers maybe doing what they had to do last year throughout the whole season, but I think when everyone gets healthy again, we're going to see a much better process after that, right? Like,
definitely.
we're going to have less games where it's like, wow, we really needed Kawhi and PG. And there's going to be more games where it was, this is why it's a luxury to have Kawhi and PG. If that difference makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I'm picking up what you're laying down.
I think I'm in the one just under. I think we're like 11 to 15 games. But hey, if we're figuring it out and we're getting wins along the way, love it. but also doesn't necessarily mean we totally figured it out. I want to say, while we're closing this episode out, so happy that I was wrong about us probably going 0-3. Very happy to eat those words.
Yes, couldn't be happier.
So, and also, like, look, we're not going to go 0-3. We might go 1-2. Who knows what happens? There could be a potential slow start, which could lead to maybe the most slanderous year for the Clippers, given all this PG and Doc stuff, which TNT talked about a bunch. And then, like, remember how last season how people said Kawhi sat a bunch of games, but that was only because the Clippers had front-loaded back-to-backs?
Yes. And then they would have had a bunch of back-to-backs to close out the game too under the what would have been the regular season schedule.
So that narrative started so fast because it was just soon and people forgot about it and they don't like the Clippers. So if the Clippers get off to a slow start, it's going to be the exact same thing. Where there's just like, well, this happened at the beginning of the season and we don't like the Clippers, so this is how it goes for the whole season. Just tell people to maybe batten down the hatches a bit, you know? Might get a little rough what happens, but for now, we can be excited that the process looks good. You know, the ball movement was there. Just psyched overall. Thursday's episode, we're going to be talking a little bit what we might want to see on the Christmas Day game, which I'm very excited for, as we all are. Some rotation discussion. And, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, Will, where can these people tell their friends to listen to us?
You can tell your friends to check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe. It really helps us out. If you like what we're doing over here, leave a rating or review. We'll definitely read it on air. Love to know what you think.
100%. Thank you so much. The season is underway and the Clippers are, you know, undefeated, which means technically we're on a 72-0 pace. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.